Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Anxiety and Phobia Workbook by Edmund Jay. Born PhD is a practical self-help and clinical support text for understanding and managing anxiety disorders, panic, phobias, worry, and related conditions. First published in 1990 and revised through later editions, it belongs to the evidence-based psychology workbook tradition rather than the inspirational self-help genre. Its central purpose is to translate cognitive behavioral therapy and complementary anxiety management methods into structured exercises that readers can apply between therapy sessions or on their own when appropriate. Born addresses anxiety as a combination of bodily arousal, avoidant behavior, catastrophic thinking, lifestyle pressures, and learned fear patterns. The book is therefore broad in scope, covering relaxation training, exposure, self-talk, mistaken beliefs, nutrition, exercise, medication considerations, mindfulness, spirituality, and relapse prevention. Its enduring reputation comes from its systematic format. Readers are not only told what anxiety is, but are asked to practice concrete skills repeatedly. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, mapping different anxiety patterns before choosing interventions. A major strength of the Anxiety and Phobia Workbook is that it does not treat anxiety as one uniform problem. Born distinguishes among panic attacks, agoraphobia, generalized anxiety, social anxiety, specific phobias, obsessive-compulsive patterns, post-traumatic stress responses, and chronic worry. This matters because an intervention that helps one pattern may be insufficient or even poorly targeted for another. For example, panic disorder often requires attention to bodily sensations and fear of fear, while phobias usually require planned encounters with avoided objects or situations. Generalized anxiety often centers on persistent worry and intolerance of uncertainty, so cognitive and behavioral strategies must address rumination rather than only acute fear. The workbook format encourages readers to assess symptoms, triggers, avoidance habits, and physical reactions before trying techniques. This diagnostic orientation is not a substitute for professional evaluation, but it gives readers a more precise vocabulary for describing their experience. The practical implication is that anxiety becomes less mysterious and more workable. By breaking it into patterns, triggers, thoughts, sensations, and behaviors, the book frames recovery as a sequence of targeted adjustments rather than a single act of willpower. Secondly, using relaxation skills to interrupt the body's fear cycle, Born places substantial emphasis on physiological regulation because anxiety is not only a thinking problem. The workbook teaches methods such as abdominal breathing, progressive muscle relaxation, and other calming routines to reduce bodily arousal. These techniques are important because anxious interpretation often intensifies when the body is already activated. A racing heart, tight chest, trembling, or shallow breathing can be misread as danger, which then produces more fear and further physical symptoms. Relaxation training works by giving the reader a repeatable way to lower baseline tension and respond differently during early anxiety escalation. The point is not to eliminate all stress sensations, but to reduce the automatic feedback loop between sensation and panic. Born's approach is practical because it treats relaxation as a skill that requires rehearsal rather than a quick tip used only in crisis. Regular practice can make the body less reactive and can also prepare readers for exposure work, where some discomfort is expected. This physiological component differentiates the workbook from books that focus mainly on attitude or insight. It recognizes that anxiety recovery often begins with learning how to tolerate and modulate the body's alarm system. Thirdly, restructuring self-talk, catastrophic thoughts, and mistaken beliefs. The cognitive dimension of the workbook focuses on how anxious thoughts maintain fear long after the original trigger appears. Born explains that negative self-talk, catastrophic prediction, overestimation of danger, and rigid core beliefs can turn ordinary uncertainty into a perceived threat. The book's exercises ask readers to identify automatic thoughts, challenge their accuracy, and replace them with more balanced statements. This is central to cognitive behavioral therapy because thoughts are treated as hypotheses to examine, rather than facts to obey. The method is concrete. A reader learns to notice a prediction such as fainting, losing control, being judged, or failing to cope. Then evaluate evidence and generate a less extreme interpretation. Born also connects self-talk to self-esteem and long-standing beliefs, showing that some anxiety is reinforced by assumptions about vulnerability, perfectionism, approval, or control. This broader cognitive work is important because surface reassurance rarely changes recurring anxiety if the underlying belief remains intact. The workbook's value lies in making cognitive restructuring active and written. Readers are asked to practice new interpretations repeatedly, which helps shift anxious thinking from an automatic reflex toward a more deliberate assessment of risk, coping capacity, and realistic outcome. Fourthly, gradual exposure as the central method for reducing avoidance. Exposure is one of the workbook's most important behavioral strategies because avoidance is a major mechanism that keeps phobias and panic-related fears alive. When a person avoids driving, elevators, crowds, flying, public speaking, or bodily sensations associated with panic, anxiety may decrease in the short term. The cost is that the feared situation remains untested, and the person never learns that discomfort can rise, peak, and fall without catastrophe. Born presents exposure as a planned, incremental process, rather than forced confrontation. Readers identify feared situations, rank them by difficulty, practice coping skills, and approach them gradually until fear becomes more tolerable. This method is not merely desensitization in a casual sense. It creates new learning about safety, uncertainty, and personal capability. The workbook also addresses safety behaviors, which can undermine exposure when a person technically enters a situation but relies on rituals, escape plans, or excessive reassurance to get through it. By reducing these supports carefully, the reader gains more accurate evidence about coping. Exposure stands out because it turns recovery into observable behavioral change. It asks readers to move beyond understanding anxiety and to test fear predictions in real conditions while still respecting pacing and preparation. Lastly, integrating lifestyle supports and relapse prevention with CBT. The workbook is broader than a narrow CBT manual because BORN includes lifestyle and maintenance factors that influence anxiety vulnerability. Nutrition, aerobic exercise, sleep habits, stimulant use, mindfulness, spirituality, medication options, and relapse prevention are treated as supporting elements rather than replacements for core therapeutic work. This is a useful balance. Anxiety symptoms are shaped by cognition and avoidance, but they are also affected by fatigue, physical tension, substance use, medical concerns, and daily stress load. Exercise, for instance, can reduce general arousal and improve mood, while mindfulness can help readers observe anxious thoughts without immediately reacting to them. BORN's discussion of medication is framed as one possible component of care, especially for readers whose symptoms are severe or persistent, while still emphasizing skills and behavior change. Relapse prevention is particularly important because anxiety recovery is rarely linear. Astor did, the workbook encourages readers to anticipate setbacks, continue practicing techniques, and respond early when avoidance or catastrophic thinking returns. This maintenance perspective makes the book more realistic than guides that imply permanent change comes from a single breakthrough. Its holistic scope gives readers multiple points of intervention while keeping CBT, exposure, and self-directed practice at the center. In conclusion, the Anxiety and Phobia Workbook is best suited for readers who want a structured, exercise-based approach to anxiety rather than a brief overview or purely reflective discussion. It can be useful for people dealing with panic attacks, phobias, chronic worry, social anxiety, or avoidance patterns, especially when they are willing to write, practice, monitor symptoms, and repeat skills over time. It is also valuable for therapists, counselors, and coaches who want a practical adjunct to treatment. Although readers with severe symptoms, trauma complications, suicidal thoughts, substance dependence, or complex diagnoses should use it with professional guidance. Its practical benefit is the combination of education and action. Readers learn what anxiety is doing in the body, thoughts, and behavior. Then apply specific techniques such as breathing, relaxation, cognitive restructuring, exposure planning, and relapse prevention. Intellectually, the book helps demystify anxiety by showing how fear is maintained through predictable feedback loops. Compared with many anxiety books, it stands out for its breadth, workbook format, long clinical use, and integration of CBT with lifestyle and maintenance strategies. It is not the shortest or simplest resource, and its comprehensiveness may feel demanding. However, that same depth is what makes it a durable reference for readers seeking a systematic anxiety management program. If you would like to support Edmund J., BORN PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.